Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're looking at the problem of suffering. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? We're studying the book of Job, and I believe you'll find some encouraging news from our study today as we discover God, who He's like, what He's like, and how He reveals Himself to us, even in the midst of our suffering. We're glad you joined us. And welcome to the team. This is a challenging series, isn't it? I never thought I'd spend so long reading the book of Job. In fact, to be honest with you, I found it quite depressing because most of the book deals with inadequate answers to the questions that are raised. But I'm so thankful for the divine revelation here, and I'm sure we'll be blessed as we study together today. We're glad you're here because you perhaps have had questions of your own and say, why is my loved one apparently abandoned by God? I know that the Spirit of God will guide you in our study today. We're glad you're writing to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We're glad you're watching on your apps, on your iPads and phones and tablets. And it's always great to hear from you. Here's a note from Bernard in Sweden. Now, Bernard, Kenneth, is actually from Ghana, but he's lived in Sweden for 30 years. And he writes to us and says, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wish to thank God for giving the founders of Hope Sabbath School such an amazing insight in starting an inspiring, interactive, and highly interesting Bible study program. Thanks to the entire team. I've been watching Hope Sabbath School regularly since January of 2015, and I love it. I've been recommending it to friends, relatives, and to my own Sabbath School class. I've been a Sabbath School teacher for many years, but I must say that Hope Sabbath School has made a difference in how I teach. Yeah. You know, that's one thing you may not know. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and download the outline that we use. We have tens of thousands of people doing that because that simple outline is like a roadmap to help you teach an interactive class of your own. Bernard's been using that in teaching a class, and he concludes by saying, your smiles are contagious. Smile, everybody. Yes. And make a positive impact, and so does your genuine interest in sharing the Word of God. Well, Bernard, we're just so glad that you're a missionary there in Sweden. It's great to know that you're not only hearing the Word, but sharing it with others. Thanks for writing. Mesusera writes from Uganda and says, I am visually impaired with residual vision of less than 5 degrees. I guess that's just a small zone of vision. Formerly a teacher, I thank God for Hope Sabbath School. Downloading your study is one of my major activities in the first 3 days of the week. I don't know, maybe it has slow download, right? Takes 3 days. May God continue to bless you. Well, I want to thank you, Mesusera. You're probably listening then, aren't you, to Hope Sabbath School? We also have people that listen while they're driving, listen while they're exercising. We're just glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's just a short note from Jared in Kenya. And Jared writes and says, I thank God for the good work of spreading His Word. God bless you. I love the teachings of God's Word. And Jared, that's a short note, but it means a lot to us from there in the great country of Kenya. And one last note here from Doris in the UK, but she's originally from the island of Mauritius. That's out in the Indian Ocean. She says, I like Hope Sabbath School and thank God for the opportunity to search the Word of God for ourselves. What do you say? Amen. That's it, isn't it? Get into the Word of God ourselves. She said, we started studying the Bible, and after 6 months, we decided to give our lives to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's beautiful. She said, there were so many photographers, I felt like a royalty getting married. Praise the good Lord. Amen. I did miss one last one from Daniel in Malawi. We've got quite a few emails from Malawi right there in the heart of Africa. And Daniel says, Hope Sabbath School has really changed my life. I've learned the importance of holding on to Jesus, even in the hard times.
Amen.
Well, that's a great email for our series, Daniel. We're talking about the experience of Job and going through difficult times. maintaining that connection, knowing that we have a loving God who's holding on to us. So, yes, you've learned an important lesson. God bless the Hope Sabbath School team for your ministry. Well, thanks for writing to us. If you haven't written recently, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Someone said, what if they don't have email? Well, talk to your grandson and see if your grandson will send an email, because we'd love to hear from you to see how God's blessing you in a study of His Word. Right now, we're going to sing a scripture song 3,000 years old, and yet it seems so relevant for this series of studies on the book of Job. It's taken from Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. It says, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Amen. Let's sing it together.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to learn to wait on You, to trust in You, to hold on, knowing that You're holding on to us, even in the difficult experiences of life in this sin-ravaged world. And I thank You that this study today, as we look at You as Creator and the suffering that's around us, we would see a true picture of Your character, and we would understand how much You love us and have a good plan for each of our lives. So bless in the study of Your Word today, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start by looking at God as Creator. And I'm actually going to go to Job first. So if you look in your outline in Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we'll start there. Now, we were just thinking how much of Scripture was available to Job at the time when he was going through this crisis. And the answer is we don't know of any. In fact, many Bible scholars believe that Job was the first book written. So he had promises passed down through the patriarchs, maybe all the way from promises given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But he could look around and he could see, in addition to what had been passed down to him. Joshua, could you start our study in Job 12, verses 7 through 10? And then we're going to look at some other scriptures which help present a consistent picture that we're not here by accident, but we are the result of a Creator's work.
Amen. Amen. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, but now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?
So Job is saying, you know, look around. Look at the creation and you'll see. Now we are living today. This was, we don't know, maybe up to 3,000-4,000 years ago that Job is giving this testimony. Today it's become very popular to believe that we are not the result of Creator's work, that we're here by chance. And very bright people come up with theories to explain that. And let me just say, it's the best that we can do if we discount the possibility of God. It's the best. We're here somehow, right? But the Bible consistently points to God as Creator. Job says, take a look around and see. So let's look at some other passages of Scripture that confirm God as Creator. Is there one that comes to your mind that you'd like to read? God as Creator. Samiso?
Think about Romans 1, verse 18.
Okay, would you read that for us here? The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Rome.
Yeah.
And read verses 18 through 20 for us.
18 through 20 from the New King James Version. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Mm.
So Paul's saying, just look, there's evidence. You've got to ignore the evidence to say we're here by accident. I love that scripture song in Psalm 33. Maybe someone could read it, verses 6 through 9. They would sing all of these songs, you know. We've lost the tunes. That's why my wife keeps writing new scripture songs. But Stephanie, there's some very profound insights. And I think it's in 2 Samuel that David says of the Lord, you put your word in my mouth. Yes. So this isn't just his human thoughts, but he's expressing the revelation that's been given to him. Psalm 33, 6 through 9.
Yes, and the King James Version says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast.
Now, I want you to remember the power of that creative power of the spoken word, because we're going to come to an amazing revelation in just a moment, and we think about that creative word in the ministry of Jesus. But right in the beginning of the what we have as the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, how does that begin in Genesis 1 and verse 1? Does anybody know?
In the beginning,
God created
the heavens.
And the earth. It just starts. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't have the explanation. I'm not sure we'd understand it fully, though we just heard that he has such creative power in his word. He speaks and it happens. But here's an amazing revelation from the New Testament. Let's go over to John chapter 1, because in John 1 and Colossians 1, we find a remarkable revelation. And Kenneth, if you could read for us John 1, verses 1 through 3.
All right. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made.
And this Creator, who's called the Word, became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. Now, sometimes we say Jesus created the worlds. Actually, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. The Word became flesh. It was the eternal Son of God who created the world, right? And the evidence is around us. Austin, could you read Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17? Here, Paul adds a testimony of Scripture. Job said, look around. We're not here by accident. Now, his challenge is, if God has made such beautiful things, why are such bad things happening to me? We're going to address that question of human suffering, but certainly God, our Creator, has made many good things.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and Colossians 1:16 and 17, is that correct?
Yes.
It says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist."
And if you look in the context there in Colossians chapter 1, the him is the one who in whom we have redemption through his blood.
Yes.
It's talking about Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
And it's saying Jesus, the Son of God, who was the Word, who became flesh, not only were all things made by him, but also by him all things
hold together.
That's how important he is. I love the Jonathan, the testimony of the angelic host in Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11. That's also a revelation by the Son of God. It says, revelation of Jesus Christ to his servant John.
Yes.
How does that read in Revelation 4? We're reading from Genesis to Revelation, an overwhelming testimony that we have a Creator who has a purpose for our lives.
All right, I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under its wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'"
Did you hear that clearly? Mm-hmm. You're worthy to receive all of this honor because you did what?
Created all things
and?
Hold them together.
By your will.
By your will. So God has a purpose. God has a plan. And Job didn't have all of the scriptures we've had today. But Job says, look around and see. Did not the hand of God create these things? Now, I've got a couple of important questions. Why is it important? And we're going to talk about human suffering in just a minute. But why is it important to know that we have a Creator and that we're not here just by chance? Mm. Alex, why is that important to know we have a Creator?
Well, if we don't recognize that we have a Creator, then what purpose do we have here?
So that gives us a purpose. I guess at that point, we're going to want to know what that purpose is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to go to the revelation through the prophets. Why else is it important, Missy?
We look at the natural world. You see how much incredible organization there is, painstaking organization. You have to really study it and break it down because it's far beyond that we can put in books. It just keeps going on and on and on and on and on.
And they say our knowledge is doubling now every how many... Is it every few years now?
Yes. Yeah.
We're just studying things that exist,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Scripture claims by his will they were created.
Yes.
God gave us a gift we're going to talk about in just a minute to remind us of his creation.
Yes. If we could please go to a scripture.
Sure.
In Psalm 139.
All right.
Verse 14.
Psalm, another scripture song, Joshua. Psalm. I love the book of Psalms, a collection of 150 scripture songs. Psalm 139.
That's correct.
And verse?
14.
All right. Just give us a moment to find that. 139 and verse 14. And how does that read in your Bible?
And the Bible says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." And so this verse, especially for me, helps me to remember that God created me individually.
Amen.
And he loves me. And for each and every one of us, we shouldn't suffer with depression or feeling like we're worthless because God made each and every one of us for a purpose.
Mm. So back to the purpose Alex mentioned, but also it helps us to know that we're valued, right?
Yes.
Amen.
We're not just an accident. Mm. We have value. So God gave a special gift. If you've read the creation account, God gave a special gift to the human family to help us to remember Him as our Creator. That's Does anybody know what was that special gift? Simiso.
He gave us in Exodus 20, he said He gave us the Sabbath.
And actually, it's remember in Exodus 20, but the gift was given when?
In Genesis.
Right, the creation. And let's take a look at that in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Stephanie, if you'd read that for us. But you're right, Sami, so it's reiterated in the commandments, in the fourth commandment, remember. It's like, you know about this, but remember it, right? Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made.
So we've started our study today with Job saying, take a look around. I mean, didn't the hand of the Lord do all of this? And we've seen from Genesis to Revelation the testimony about a Creator God. But now comes the big challenge, and it's a challenge that Job faced. And that is, if God is good and His creation is good, why is there so much suffering and sickness and death in the world? It's a good question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Genesis and look in Genesis 1. And let's just look at part of the creation account. Marcus, if you could read verses 25 to 31 of Genesis 1. Just part of the account, and you'll notice this is God's reflection on how the creation went.
Mm-hmm. Now I'll be reading from the King James Version. And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the earth, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
So this is a phrase that is repeated and then augmented there in chapter 1, and it is that it was
good.
It was good. In fact, it became very good. And then He gives the Sabbath to say, remember how awesome it is to know that you're not here by accident. Mm. Remember your Creator, right? Who in 6 days made the heaven and the earth. So it just sounds so wonderful. So what went wrong? Well, Jesus told a story. We'll go back to Genesis in a moment. But Jonathan, could you read the first part of the story in Matthew 13? And then Ruth, if you could continue the story in the next portion of Matthew 13. We're going to look first at 24 to 30 of Matthew 13, and then we'll look at verses 36 to 43. And Jesus, we've discovered from our study so far, should know more than anyone what really happened. Because He is the Word who became
flesh.
He's Emmanuel, God with us. So He knows about the creation because we studied by Him all things were made.
That's right.
And they were very
good.
They were very good when He made them. But here's the story He tells, Jonathan, starting in verse 24 of Matthew 13.
Okay, and NIV says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Hmm. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'"
Now, if we didn't have the explanation that Ruth is going to read in just a few minutes, we could probably look at the story and say, okay, so the good man, the man who sows the good seed, represents God. It, not always does that person represent God, because you've got times when you've got an unjust rich man who fires his unjust manager. So it's not always God. But here, then you've got the enemy. Mm-hmm. And what does the enemy do?
So tears.
It wants to destroy, to make a mess of something that was good.
Yes.
We have the benefit in this story, though, of getting some explanation, Ruth. And if you could continue reading in Matthew 13, verses 36 down through verse 43.
Okay. I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Mm-hmm. I love that last part about the righteous shining like the sun, mm-hmm. in the kingdom of their Father. Amen?
Amen.
It's like, God, let me be like Job, one you look at and said, yes. that daughter of mine, she's blameless before me. Mm-hmm. And that's walking by faith, isn't it?
Yes.
That's walking by faith. They're going to shine like the stars in the kingdom of our Father. But the enemy is identified here as
the devil.
And remember, we've studied in Revelation 12, he's called the devil and
Satan
and
the dragon
and the old serpent, which is a reference to Genesis chapter 3. Mm. And that's where the rebellion that started in heaven, mm-hmm. covering cherub named Lucifer, angels join him by his deception, cast out of heaven, and the battle comes to planet Earth. Now, Job doesn't know a lot of that story, does he? But he's about to see the battle unleash in his part of the world. Now, how soon after Satan comes and tempts our first parents, and you can read that in Genesis 3, how soon do you start to see the weeds growing? You know, to use the analogy of the good seed, and all of a sudden, weeds. How soon does that happen from your reading of the story? Nancy?
Looks to me like it happens immediately, because Adam and Eve start blaming each other.
"Where are you, Adam?" "Well, the woman you gave me," mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Who's he blaming there?
God.
Both? Yeah. Everybody. Right. Yes. I'm blaming you all, right? God, you gave her, and it's her, you know? Yeah. And then she starts blaming, and it accelerates, doesn't it? What comes next in the story, Austin, after the blaming of each other?
Well,
chapter 4, do you know, Genesis 4? Anybody?
Cain and Abel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cain and Abel are at first kind of...
Yeah.
Cain's jealous,
right, yeah.
because God has accepted Abel's offering and not his. And, mm-hmm. and then finally what? Murder. Mm-hmm. So how long? Very quickly, mm-hmm. very quickly, the weeds begin to sprout, and the disaster comes. Yes. And now it's about to be unfolded in the life of Job. I don't know if you've thought about this, but we read the revelation of the council in heaven. Remember in our study in Job chapter 1? Mm-hmm. I wonder, people, Jonathan, reading that, they'd never heard this before, right? When they read the book of Job, we don't know quite about when it... Yeah, some think it was Moses that wrote that, and so we're there still several thousand, 3,300 years ago. I wonder what they thought as they saw that there's this great battle going on.
Although, I mean, you hear the stories about Enoch, like the prophecies of Enoch passed down to Jude, and we don't have that written down. So there was probably oral truths that were passed down to people that they had heard from Enoch, from other people, that were still being passed down generation to generation.
Yeah, that's right, because Enoch, he gives a prophecy about the coming of Jesus, doesn't he?
Right.
Glory.
Right.
So and that's recorded in the little book of Jude. So you're saying that certain truths about what God taught to Adam and Eve in the garden about the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. Yeah. Some of those things were being passed down, but he really didn't know very much, did he? Mm-hmm. But he's got some things he's holding on to, and he's faced with a dilemma. He knows there's a creator.
Yes.
And he believes that the creator is
good.
He's good. He's good. So, Samiso, take us to his dilemma, if you would, in Job chapter 6. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. Job chapter 6, verses 1 through 10.
Job chapter 6, verse 1 to 10, reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Oh, that my grief were fully weighed, and my calamity laid with it on the scales. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words have been rushed. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terror of God are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when it has grass? Or does the ox low over its fodder? Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refuses to be touch them. They are as loathsome food to me. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me this one thing that I long for, that it would please God to crush me, that he would lose his hand and cut me off. Then I would still have comfort, though in anguish I would exult. He would not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One.'"
My, how would you describe Job's condition here?
Ooh. Overwhelmed.
Pretty serious.
Nathan? Serious?
He feels like God has attacked him.
Somehow, God is all-powerful. He's the creator.
Right.
God is doing this, but he doesn't understand why. How would you describe his inner state, Stephanie?
I think he's overwhelmed, but I appreciate where he's at. He's just being very real with God. Mm. And sometimes we deny what's happening, but he's not.
So you'd say there are stages of grief, aren't there?
Right? Yes.
I think some of us have studied those at times. The first stage is what? Isn't
denial.
It's denial, right? And then the next stage is anger. And then depression. And some people never get past those. And then the next step is...
bargaining.
Oh, wait, we got bargaining there somewhere too, don't we? Yeah. Bargaining comes before depression, doesn't it, Marcus? Thank you. And then acceptance, if some people get to that place. So is he in denial here?
No.
No,
he's not in denial. Is he angry?
Yes.
He could be angry, couldn't he? Is he bargaining with God here?
Well, he's asking for something.
It is kind of like, hey, let's talk about this guy.
reason together.
But it is a little. It is like depression as well, because he says it may be better for you to just take my life and let me end it all.
Right. Nine is depression.
Right. Suicidal.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's suicidal because he's not wanting to hurt himself. Right. In fact, he's going to say, I'm going to keep holding on to you even if you decide to crush me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
That's the story. But it's like...
kind of like Jacob.
Kind of like...
he wouldn't let go.
Okay, so I'm going to keep holding on even if it's going to dislocate my hip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't really know what's happening here. But I know you're the sovereign God. Mm-hmm. That I do know. Let's look at another passage in Job chapter 10. And what question is... Nathan, would you read Job 10 verses 8 through 12? What question is Job asking here?
Sure.
Job 10 verses 8 through 12.
You caught me a little unawares because I was thinking about that last passage.
And, sure.
And, you know, the reality is that depression is real even for people who are living for God and falling,
sure,
they can go through a state of depression. And we should not lose hope, even in depression. You see, Job is still hanging on.
And something that you said in a previous study was we can't base our response on our feelings.
Our feelings,
right?
Yeah.
We've got to be based on the faithfulness of God.
Acknowledging them is the beginning of overcoming them.
And after you read the passage in Job 10, I want to talk about some other stories of Bible characters who had every reason to feel maybe angry, bargain, yes, or depressed. Before they finally make it through to saying, I'm going to accept this as where I am, but I'm going to keep connected to God, knowing He's holding on to me. Yes. Job 10, verses 8 through 12.
Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Your hands have made me and fashioned me, an intricate unity. Yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay. And will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with the bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit.
Mm. What do you hear there? It's kind of a scramble, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What's coming out in this conversation that Job is having with God? Jonathan, you're smiling. What are
he's
you
ruffling.
Hearing there?
It's like he's like back and forth.
Yeah. It's no, not all one way, is it?
Yeah, it's like
he's not lost hope. He's still saying, you know, you granted me life and favor.
Yeah.
Your care has preserved my spirit. But on the other hand, it's like,
what do I do with this?
I feel like you're crushing me, yeah. Missy.
I can't help but think of the psalmist David when he was being pursued by Saul. You know. At one moment, he's exulting. At the other, he's like in the depths of despair. Mm-hmm. And so that gives me hope that, you know, God accepts me through all my roller coasters of emotions. And He's with me no matter what. Mm-hmm. And my job is to not let go and to keep hanging on to God.
Have you been in that journey, or do you, a loved one, someone you know, where there's this kind of up and down? It's so easy to judge them and say, pull yourself together. But, you know, sometimes I'm going to hold on to God. It's like, I can't handle it. You know, has anyone had an experience like that, either in your own life or someone you know and love? Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've definitely gone through a spot where my, for various reasons, there was things happening around me that were definitely depressing to some degree. And then my own body started, my mind started kind of falling through. And I had a really hard time just keeping that foundation. And like you said, I mean, like, it wasn't a spiritual, there wasn't anything I was doing wrong. It's just my own mind, just, I didn't have that foundation. I just kept falling through. It's like, I just couldn't keep happy thoughts I just kind of crashed.
And so how did you process that? Because here you are.
Honestly, what I had to do, I filled my mind with scripture songs. And for a while, I just played scripture songs and just constantly going there. And that got me through one of the worst times of my life. Because I could go into the whole story. It was a very tough time in my life. But I put that on, and I would find, as I would continue listening to scripture or just Psalms in general, I would find my subconscious, slowly just in the background, would finally accept something. Mm. Like there was some lie or something I was believing about God, and just over time it would accept it. Like, oh, and I would just get this piece. I'm like, okay, what did I just hear? It's like, oh, I heard that. Oh, yeah, I was kind of believing. My subconscious was kind of believing something bad. And so it had finally, oh, yeah, okay, that's true. And so then I would come back up.
Is that a powerful testimony?
Yes.
It reminds me, in a previous study, someone talked about, I needed to surround myself with some good friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You surrounded yourself through your earbuds some good words from the Lord, and that was helpful for you. Nathan?
We can't go through this series of studies without
mentioning the reality of depression even in the church.
Sure. Followers of Jesus, right?
We live in a world where depression is a reality, yes. And it's increasing, actually, in our day. Mm-hmm. And it would be a mistake for us to say, well, you just need more faith, or you just need to trust God more, or you need to pray more, because I've heard those kind of responses, and that's just not true. Mm-hmm. It's part of the human experience. And for some people, for various reasons, it's more of a struggle than for others. But many people have been successful, and even faithful people have dealt with depression. I'm thinking of Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he struggled with depression. It was very real to him, and yet God blessed him. He's one of the most respected presidents in the United States history. And I think that we have to be careful as Christians, because it's very easy for us to just say, if that person just had more faith, and we can do more damage by saying, just pray about it. Come on, you know, snap, like you said earlier, snap out of it. Job's friends realized he had every reason to be concerned. And they did the right thing by rallying around him. And for the first 7 days, they were doing pretty well. They were just with him. And then they blew it when they opened their mouths. And we can do the very same thing. We can open our mouths and just say the wrong things and cause more harm. And we're actually speaking the wrong words. And God later had to tell Job, you know, they're in the wrong and you need to pray for them so that I'll forgive them, you know. So.
Someone else, an experience, Joshua.
Yeah, I would say that it was around 2011 I decided to start taking my spiritual life seriously. And at the same time, I was unemployed. And what ended up happening was that God blessed me with a new job. And the day that I was supposed to start training for that job, I would soon have to fly off to a different city in the U.S. to train. I ended up in the hospital. And the doctors essentially told me I had bilateral pneumonia, which I had never even heard of before. And I was in the hospital for 9 days. I lost a lot of weight. I actually thought at one point I was going to die. And I remember laying in the hospital bed thinking, you know, my sister, she had died when I was 15. Mm. And I said, Lord, like, don't make my parents go through the death of another child. And I said, you know, I've started to follow you now, but just spare my life because I don't want them to go through this again. And on top of that, you see, I'm trying to follow you now, like, please. And so, you know, of course, I'm here today.
Amen.
You know,
I'm going to say, did you survive?
No. It really, you know, you have that faith building experience, but then something else happens where you get hit low again. And then, you know, by God's grace, he'll bring you back up. So I think he does these things sometimes on purpose just to show us, like, look, I'm always going to be here for you. You need to trust me.
So challenging situations and even feeling angry, trying to bargain with God or depressed can be part of the human experience. Think of some stories in the Bible of people who went through some hard times. We kind of tell this story, isn't it? But then think about what kind of thoughts and feelings do you think they went through during those experiences? A story comes to mind. Stephanie?
I think of Moses.
Okay.
And walking through the wilderness and the challenges that he went through.
So you're thinking here he's 80 years old when he's called back from the desert of Midian, and he leads the people through an amazing miracle of deliverance, right?
Yes.
Through the Red Sea, but...
But they're complaining, and then he acted without faith, and then he was not able to go into the Promised Land. But he still had a blessing at the end.
So are you suggesting, it's an interesting thought, that he may have wrestled with some depression over that, that God says, you know, and you're thinking of the story where instead of speaking to the rock,
he struck it twice,
saying something that was not true about the plan of salvation, that maybe he had a real low time?
Yes.
We don't know, do we?
It's possible. Even going through having to bring that mass amount of people through the wilderness and their negativity.
Sure.
And he was dealing
with
that.
Life out of
you.
Yes,
absolutely.
There is one prophet, and then I'll come to you, Marcus. There is one prophet that we're told that after a great time of deliverance that he really hit bottom.
Elijah.
And his name was
Elijah.
Elijah. And actually he says the same kind of thing that Job said here. He says, just let me die. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all too much for me. Marcus.
I think of Joseph, especially in Potiphar's house, who was doing the right thing by not allowing Potiphar's wife to take advances on him. And yet he was thrown into prison for, I believe, his 17 years. So you're thinking, you're sitting there for 17 years thinking, well, Lord, I did the right thing, you know, but I'm still here being punished. And I'm thinking, well, what was going through his head? But again, you know, he held fast to the promises of the Lord that he knew and held on and said, I will not let go. And then the Lord delivered him to an even higher position.
Sure. Yeah, and someone can check on this, but I'm not sure it was 17 years, but I bet it felt like 17 years. But it was a long time, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it was totally unjust.
Right.
He was put in prison for doing what was right.
Yes.
Would that make someone angry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could be. Maybe not angry with God, but angry with Potiphar's wife, and maybe even angry with Potiphar. I know he could have killed him if he really believed it, but he still did get him put in prison, right? Depressed?
Yeah,
for sure. So we go through those times. Thanks, Nathan, for reminding us of that. And that does not mean God stopped loving us.
Exactly.
It certainly doesn't mean he's abandoned us. In fact, it may even mean that he is smiling upon us because we have honored him in this great struggle.
Amen.
Ruth?
I think about Naomi. And when she lost her husband and her sons, and the way that she felt, to even changing her name to Mara because she believed that, you know, God was done with her and that was it for her. And so, but through Ruth, she was actually able to understand, kind of cliche.
That's a great name, by the way.
She was able to understand that, no, God is, he's great and he's still with them, and he helped them from that situation to greater things with Boaz, of course.
Yeah, thank you. And, of course, that story is told in the book of Ruth that bears your name, or you bear its name, right?
Indeed.
But, again, there's a beautiful story of a joyful ending, but a
dark chapter.
A dark chapter, right? Mm-hmm. A difficult chapter. And to suggest that it was sinful to be depressed in that time, when actually it's probably a fairly healthy human reaction, and to have to somehow make it past that to the new beginning, Ruth, that God had for Naomi and for Ruth. Doesn't it say in the end that she actually helps nurse Ruth's baby? That was Boaz? No, and Ruth. What was their baby's name? Was that Obed?
Obed.
I think it was Obed, you know? It's like, wow, talk about from ashes to joy. But it was a tough road, wasn't it?
Yes.
That she had to go through. Yes.
And I also want to also emphasize when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he also went through that struggle. And earlier on, our sister was talking about Moses' experience. When God had a plan, and somewhere in the Bible, God resurrected Moses. And Moses turned, became a person who somehow encouraged Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, sometimes what I see is, by the grace of God, when we make it into the kingdom of God, and Job sees the number of people who were blessed by his struggle. Mm-hmm. Because most of the things I see here is like a prayer to God. And God was there listening. You know, he poured his heart out and God listened. And then when he was done, God also talked to him.
I love what you said. I'm going to repeat it just in case someone missed it. But when Job finally gets to the kingdom of heaven, and by the way, he does testify, I know that my Redeemer lives, right?
Yes.
And he will stand in the earth on the last day.
Amen.
To know the joy of his heart then.
Yes.
Amen.
Say,
amen.
You know, that I kept holding on to God, knowing that he was holding on to me, even when I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And to see how his testimony has encouraged so many.
Amen.
Yeah, that's really a remarkable... that will be a day of joy, won't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
For sure. Nathan?
We can be rough on Mrs. Job. We talked about her before because she said, curse God and die. And I want to come to Mrs. Job's defense because you talked about depression being a natural human response in some situations. And imagine what she went through.
Yeah.
We talk about Job's losses, but it was her losses too. And then... In that one verse we read in another study in chapter 2 where Job says, shall we accept the blessings, but not, shall we not also accept the adversity? But he says, we. Job is acknowledging that you and I are going through this together. You're feeling it, and I understand you're feeling that depression and that pain. And in the end, it's interesting that when God tells Job, go pray for your friends, and then they're to offer sacrifices and to make it right. They're chastised, but Mrs. Job is never chastised by it. She's not listed with the friends as
being
in error.
You're going to come to Mrs. Job's defense.
You know, I think we can't be too hard on her.
Sure. Well, and
she's, and God isn't, because God doesn't say anything negative about her in the end of the book. Interesting.
And God doesn't give Job a different wife.
Yep. Right.
Same wife that has the seven sons and three daughters, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So thank you. And maybe that's an important lesson. God is a good creator.
Amen.
Our
Amen.
Life has meaning and purpose and hope. But an enemy has come and sowed these tares, and chaos is the result. And we struggle with that. Job struggled.
Yes.
Sometimes he says, maybe it would be best, God, I'm not going to let go of you, but if you need to just crush me because this seems too hard for me. Mm-hmm. I want to conclude our study today and come back again and give you a chance. There's no right or wrong answer here to promises. And Jonathan, I love what you said about making it through that hard time. I don't know if you had headphones or earbuds, but you know, so I don't know whether to put my finger in my ear or over my ear, but, Was there a promise that jumps to mind for you? And then I want to give others in the group. We're not going to avoid these difficult times. We're not going to avoid these heartaches. But we will face them differently because we're connected to God, right?
Yes.
So was there a promise that was especially meaningful to you?
I can think of some. I didn't memorize all the numbers all the times. But I built these playlists.
Help you if you can't remember where
exactly.
It's found.
Like I built some playlists and stuff where they were kind of in different things. And some of them were other inspired writings as well that kind of combined together that would just be when I kind of my... Okay, I need myself my healing versus my really tough times versus, and I think 141, just the whole chapter of 141 was one of them, if I remember right. There's just a lot in there.
Psalm 141?
Yeah, call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Sorry.
Would you like to read one of the verses?
Sure. We can just kind of read the first couple verses.
Okay, let's go there because that's a psalm that I'm not as well acquainted with. Psalm 141, and which verses would you like to read?
See, I
want to read the whole 10?
I was always listening to it audibly, so I never captured exactly which verse is what and these kind of things. So I'm not sure. I mean, we can just read maybe the first two or so.
All right.
But there's
first
a lot of
verses.
Stuff in this one. Yeah.
And what translation are you reading?
Reading from NIV.
The New International Version, Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2.
Yeah, so I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. I don't know what were the ones, but I know there's some other ones where David is expressing his pain, his literal pain. Sometimes when you deal with depression, you can kind of get this pain in your body that's just it's real. It's and he has that ache in his bones, and so it's good to sometimes it's good to have David, that you can this man of God dealt with this and has been there.
So this crying out is not just, it is good to give thanks, right? This is a crying out from deep in his soul. And yet, by calling out, what's he recognizing even in that calling out? Samisa, what's he recognizing?
The higher power.
Yeah, that God is there and that God wants to listen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand, but I'm crying out to you. I've got several hands raised. Is it a new text or a response to the text that's just been read?
I have a new text.
A new text? New text?
I have a new text.
New text. All right. We've got three texts that we closed. And I'd like to tell you, wherever you are, joining us for Hope Sabbath School, I'd like to hear a text that has encouraged you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We'll send it out to the whole team. Maybe it will be a text that we need to hear right now. So... when you're facing those trials, and they're inevitable on planet Earth, even though God's a good creator, an enemy came and sowed weeds, and we're in the middle of that struggle. Some words of comfort. We've got Psalm 141, 1 and 2. Let's take a look, Joshua, at another verse.
This is just 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14.
All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 7.
Yes. Just verse 14.
And verse 14. I think that's a famous verse, isn't it?
Yes.
2 Chronicles 7:14. How does that read in your Bible?
Right. And the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
It's comfort for you.
Most definitely.
And I guess for Job, he's already confessed his sins here, but he still needs to humble himself, doesn't he? Yeah. And say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to complain. He was a little complaining at time, but he was struggling. Mm-hmm. Yes,
well,
Nancy.
The verse that I have that I thought of when you said he was holding on, but God was holding him too. The verse that I think of is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27.
Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. Give us just a moment to find that. By the way, isn't it wonderful to just search the scriptures? The Holy Spirit guides us. And what translation are you reading?
I have the New King James Version, and it reads, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Mm.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath? There's an old gospel song that says, leaning on the everlasting arms. Right? Why is that important? Because we've been talking about holding on, you know.
Yeah.
But
he's got us.
He's already got us. I love that text in John 10. No one can snatch them out of my hands. Yeah. We have time for one more verse, Marcus.
James 1, verse 12.
James chapter 1 and verse 12. And with this text, we'll have to wait until our next study. James 1 and verse 12.
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Amen. So whatever crisis we're facing, our cry to God is, God, I love you. I can also say, I'm hurting, I'm depressed, I don't want to get up this morning, but I love you and I know my Redeemer lives, right?
Amen. Amen.
And I choose to stand under his banner. And when my grip's getting a little weak, thank you that underneath me are the everlasting arms. What an amazing assurance we have. I'm so glad that you've been with us for this study today as we've talked about God and human suffering. He is not the cause of the suffering. In fact, he wants to be the solution if we will trust wholly in him. I want to pray for you today. Maybe you're going through a great crisis in your life, that you will know the support as you say, God, hold me in your everlasting arms and know the peace and the rest that only he can give. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I know in our Hope Sabbath School family around the world, there have to be people going through great trial right now. Thank you for the promises that you brought to our remembrance. May we believe your promises and rest in your loving care. And we thank you that you are good and you have a good plan, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. I am so blessed by this series of studies. Why? Because we're all going through suffering. We're facing challenges, but we have a peace and assurance that comes from a living connection with God. Hold on, knowing he's holding on to you, and take that good news to those around you.